I'm back once again with director Rick Phelps, who leads the Kalamazoo Singers. The concert is coming up on Saturday night at 7 p.m. at First United Methodist Church. Rick, tell us about Choral Classics.
Well, hey, Kara, it's great to be here again. And this concert, you know, I suppose a conductor always says, oh, this concert is amazing. This concert, this next thing that we're doing is so cool, or I'm so excited about this, but first of all, that's always true because everything we do is just like that. It's fun. It's exciting. It's something new because it's, you know, creating a concert is just that. It's a creation. But this one really is special because, yes, it's called Choral Classics, but it is the juiciest tidbits from some of the greatest works of art in the history of our world. And it's just one gem after another. It's one treasure after another. And so we're very excited to present it. And it'll be done with the full orchestra over at First United Methodist Church. So that's also exciting. We're doing the best we can to present this music the way it was conceived originally. Not to say that this would be bad to do these pieces with piano alone, but we're doing them all with an orchestra with our big, wonderful chorus.
And you're celebrating your 40th season as the Kalamazoo Singers, and so it seems fitting to outfit yourself with an orchestra.
Yes. The reason that we're doing this particular concert, well, this whole season is really planned around the 40th anniversary, and so all the music we're singing has been performed before by the Kalamazoo Singers. And this concert is a collection of, you know, 40 years worth of singing songs, singing pieces from major works, or actually doing the major works themselves. Just a few years ago, we sang Messiah with the KSO and Maestro Harvey. And we are, of course, on a Choral Classics. You can't do a performance and call it that without doing the Hallelujah Chorus from Messiah. But we're also doing Beethoven's Hallelujah Chorus, which is actually known as Hallelujah from the Mount of Olives in order to distinguish it from the obviously more famous Handel Chorus. But it is a fantastic, fantastic piece of music. And is really the only thing, I guess, that anybody ever hears from the Mount of Olives, which is an oratorio by Beethoven that I guess wasn't terribly successful at the time, nor is it heard much nowadays.
Sounds like both of these, because they are Hallelujah choruses, would require a kind of full-throated, everybody on deck singing.
It does. It both absolutely do. But the thing that we're discovering is that there is so much more to a piece like the Hallelujah Chorus that we all know that is often overlooked in choirs that are, you know, 180 people on stage and a big orchestra. So we're really trying, and here I guess we put ourselves on notice, put ourselves on record. We're really trying to sing the piece, you know, with the same attention to musicality and discipline of executing the lines, the articulation, the clarity of it. And we have discovered in rehearsal that the piece has a lot more there than is often brought out in performance. And so I hope that we can bring to the Kalamazoo audience in our performance just how well we've, you know, worked on it, just how well it's gone in rehearsal with all these subtleties and nuances. And I hope that we're not too tired at the end of the concert. After singing all this wonderful music, I hope we're not too tired to be able to realize our vision of that piece in particular.
Do you also include pieces that will provide some contrast to this joyful abundance of a choral sound?
Yes. It's not 14 or 15 hallelujahs in a row. That might get a little bit tiring.
I might sign up for that.
You know, that would be fun, perhaps, once in a lifetime to hear. But remember I said that we're doing pieces, you know, from throughout our history, right? But we're also doing a collection of some of the greatest choruses ever penned. So some of them are celebratory. There's the two hallelujahs from Haydn's Creation, The Heavens Are Telling, you know, a big, big, bold, splashy piece. But then also Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, which is our entry by Bach on this concert. And that is you know, the melody that the instruments play is so brilliantly famous and easy to sing, and yet the chorus is very subdued and legato and flowing underneath it. The challenge there is to make sure that the words come through cleanly, because it's not, there's no like harshness in the text. It's not bombastic. So we have to make sure we're clear on the words, despite the music being very, very flowing and smooth. Brahms, German Requiem, we're doing How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place. So that is another reprieve, or a little bit of respite from the bombast. But, you know, then we might turn around right away and do Elijah, Mendelssohn's Elijah, the final chorus from Elijah, which is this big, beautiful fugue called Lord Our Creator. And that is another piece of bombast. But then we contrast it with other works from opera, which is the other half of the choral classics idea, I guess we'll say.
You mentioned these are all pieces the Kalamazoo Singers have performed before. How did you go about picking which ones to be on the Choral Classics program?
The way I built this program in particular is I sat down with 40 years worth of printed programs and just turned pages, right? I did a concert a few years ago where the whole concert was suggestions from the membership, things that were special to them. That was a Christmas concert a few years ago, I think. But this one has really been built from good old-fashioned research, right? Just sitting down, turning the pages of dozens and dozens of programs and finding a wonderful mix. One thing that is cool about this concert, though, is that we are we had our very first, as far as we know, our first ever gala celebration in the fall, where we had a solo recital with a small chorus and some invited guests who had been members of the K-Singers. And we're singing several of those pieces on this concert that were at the KIA performance back in September. And we're singing a few other ones at our end-of-the-year concert in May. So the opera side is represented by our soloists and guests.
I wonder if I could lead us back to the Beethoven Hallelujah chorus, because I'm kind of curious about it now. And we could take a break to hear a recording from the WMUK library of this. Did you have anything that will help lead us into this piece?
It starts out with a very maestoso, powerful, not really military, but just a triumphant opening in the orchestra. And then the chorus takes up Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And then there are several different imitative sections, fugue-like sections, and then a real fugue that give voice to each of the phrases of the text. So it starts out with this big, powerful Hallelujah, and then Praise the Lord, ye bright angelic choirs, and then Man proclaim his grace and glory, and it just goes on from there. And each part of the text gets its own little point of imitation leading through. And so you can hear the transitions in the piece two ways. The music changes and the text changes, and it's quite dramatic. And honestly, it's a bit unrelenting. You know, it just sort of pounds your senses until the piece comes to a very dramatic conclusion.
Thank you.
Hallelujah Chorus from Beethoven's cantata, Christ on the Mount of Olives. And it's a rare Hallelujah Chorus that will be performed on the Choral Classics concert coming up from the Kalamazoo Singers. Rick Phelps has joined me here today to preview the concert. This concert comes from pouring over many, many concert programs from the 40-year history of the Kalamazoo Singers. Just for a reminder, how many of those years have you been director?
This would be my sixth season.
And is this your primary musical ensemble at this point? I know you have a long history of conducting.
Yep. This is where I put my heart and soul and get a lot of soul back. You know, it's definitely the kind of thing that feeds one. And spending time with wonderful musicians and wonderful people and listening to the beautiful singing that they provide. I tell my singers all the time things like that as a conductor, my music making, my gift in making music requires the voluntary and excellent contributions of other people. I can't sit down at home with a piano and lose myself in music. In order for me to do what I'm best at, I have to have a wonderful, willing group of people to make that ensemble and then make my artistry possible. So I'm always very, very grateful to them and to all the groups that I've been able to conduct.
I'm thinking of Thomas Kasdorf, who was one of the longest running directors of the Kalamazoo Singers. Is he involved in any day-to-day sort of way with the singers still?
Not any day-to-day by any means. He's at every rehearsal in the sense that his handprint is on the organization. He was the heart and soul. He and his wife were of the organization for the 30-some years that he conducted it. And I didn't know who he was before I began, but most of my members, current members, have sung with him. And even those who have come in later know him or know of him by reputation. And so there's no escaping the wonderful legacy that he laid down and that we're able to continue. I mean, it's a tremendous honor to follow somebody who is that loved and that respected and that successful. We are going to have him back, however, at our May concert. He will be guest conducting as we're having a few of our past conductors come and celebrate the end of the year, end of the season, end of the end of the 40th anniversary at our May concert.
This Saturday, I understand there will be a few soloists in the mix who may be making a kind of return appearance.
That's right. We started out the year, as we said before, with our gala celebration over at the KIA in the third week or so of September, and we put on a song recital, opera and musical theater. And this concert, being choral classics, is mostly or is all the opera side, and so we're repeating some of those pieces, but we have a very special guest coming, and that's Alfra Lynn Roberts. She's a former member of the K-Singers, lived here for some time, and has gone on to a career of some acclaim, considerable acclaim, as an artist. And so we're having her as our special guest artist, and she'll be singing a couple of marvelous pieces with the chorus. Duetting with another alumni, and she'll also be singing. Well, for example, here she's going to sing the aria Senza Mamma from Suor Angelica by Puccini, opera by Puccini. She will be singing the famous Laudate Dominum of Mozart, and that starts with a big solo of hers, and then she continues the solo while the chorus enters and supports underneath. And then she's doing a couple duets, one from Léo Delibes' Lakmé, the opera Lakmé, the famous flower duet. And she'll be singing that with Tricia Tetzlaff, who is another alum. and Trisha sang on the September performance. And then she'll be singing from La Traviata, the Brindisi. She'll be singing that duet, that happy drinking song duet with our very own Joseph Sablon. So we have current members who are singing with her, alumni who are singing with her, and then she's got some stuff to do on her own.
You mentioned the flower duet from Lakmé. I'm sorry, I can't let the mention of that go without taking a moment to hear it. It is such a classic, and yet I never get tired of it. And from an opera that you rarely see, right? It's just...
Lakmé, perhaps, has suffered the same fate as the Beethoven Mount of Olives. We know one piece, basically, from each piece of music. So we know the flower duet and we know the Hallelujah chorus, and that's about it from those two.
That's the flower duet from Lakmé, the opera by Léo Delibes. And I'm with Rick Phelps here in the studio at WMUK. And Mr. Phelps will be conducting choral classics on Saturday at First United Methodist Church. Program begins at 7 p.m. And they will perform that famous duet, Tricia Tetzlaff and Alferlin Roberts as the soloists. Thanks for indulging me with that moment of music.
My pleasure. It's one of those pieces you just can't listen to enough.
Let's keep rounding up what people can expect to hear on Saturday.
We've just about covered all the bases, but we do have a few more pieces from opera. Also classic pieces, which is why they're on this program. Tricia Tetzlaff is also going to sing the Carmen solo, the Habanera, along with the chorus. We're singing the marvelous Va Pensiero from Nabucco, which became kind of the de facto national anthem of Italy when Verdi wrote it. There's a great line that says, "My fatherland, you know, my homeland, my home country," and that became kind of the rallying cry. And the melody was so beautiful that the Italians, who are great singers anyway, just glommed onto it and made it their own. But maybe the most significant piece from opera that we're performing is a piece from our founding. This choir, this Kalamazoo Singers Organization, was founded 40 years ago when Mel Ivey, a choral director at Western, was asked to form a chorus of adults to sing the choral parts for Puccini's Butterfly. And the chorus loved singing together so much that they said, "Hey, could we do this all the time now?" And that's how the Kalamazoo Singers came to being. So in honor of that pivotal moment, that that genesis of the organization, will also be singing the humming chorus from Madama Butterfly by Puccini.
I'm thinking about that moment in Kalamazoo history where he probably found a lot of great adult singers in the churches around Kalamazoo. But this repertoire isn't necessarily sacred, and it's for the opera, and that was truly missing at the point, at that time.
As far as I understand, there was really no outlet for people who wanted to sing besides you have Bach Festival, you had the Oratorio Society, and you had your church choirs, but there really wasn't an opportunity to sing music theater, show music, opera choruses, and the classic choral literature that wouldn't have fit into the oratorio vein of things. There's tremendous amount of music that wouldn't be sung either in a church or in a Bach or Handel kind of event. And we get to sing all of that. That's what makes us special.
Yes, that really is still the positioning that the Kalamazoo Singers has in the city. The choir is supported by its members and the community gifts?
Yes. We have great support from both within and without the organization. We have received several incredibly generous grants from the Gilmore Foundation and several others. And so we're very, very grateful to have that kind of continued community, personal, and broad-based support.
Well, before you go, I'd love it if you gave us a sense or a preview of what the final concert of the season will be like in May. What can you tell us?
Well, you mentioned just a few minutes ago, Kara, that what we do, what we specialize in, is everything. We don't sing just one style or whatever of music. So this concert really is going to reflect that, unlike the March concert, which is just classics, you know, hit after hit after hit. This will be a little bit of everything, from Samuel Barber to a little Brahms, Purcell, Gilbert and Sullivan. We're singing songs from Wicked. So we've got some music theater in there. World premiere by our own John Griffin, our pianist and a composer and teacher here at Western. And so lots of things that really capture the heart and soul of who the Kalamazoo Singers are. We sing a little bit of everything and try to do our very best at it.
I have one final silly question for you. With all of these compelling pieces on one concert, I mean, truly high points from so many different composers and pieces, what is the worst earworm among them all when you're driving home from rehearsal?
Oh my goodness, that's a fantastic question. I would say either of the fugue subjects from the Mendelssohn, Lord Our Creator, or from the Beethoven. Those are the two that usually noodle around in my brain for hours on end and often don't give me any relief.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you very much.